Our scripture lesson this morning comes to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
We are now spending most joyous, happiest season of the year. So it's a happy holidays. And the people enjoy and celebrate these seasons. And the survey says the top three reasons why people enjoy this, celebrate is first reason is quality time with the family. And the second is exchanging the gift. Third is their children really enjoy this one, so they enjoy this season. Nothing wrong with these regions, right? So many of you agree with these regions. But have you noticed there's something wrong with these regions? Once you start to believe, this is why you celebrate Christmas, then you start to exclude many other people from this Christmas. People who just lost loved ones, who are lonely without family, people who are neglected. No one cares about those people giving gift. People who are childless. For them, Christmas is not merry, joyful Christmas. This is the false religion you have to think about. The false religion, false belief, false doctrine comes with us in a good way so that people may, "Wow, yes, I do believe that." And while you believe, and there are people who are left out this season. Question is, who stole the Christmas? Christmas is not just, it's important, I say it's not important, but we know as a believer, I don't expect anything from the world, how they interpret the Christmas, but at least the Christians, the believers, the church, understand why we celebrate the Christmas. Why? Because Jesus came to the poor, to the neglected, to the heartbroken, to the lonely, to give them joy, hope, peace, and love, so that they can enjoy. Right? Isn't that the good news of Christmas? Isn't that why we celebrate? That, oh, because I have lost a job, because I'm sick, because I don't want to care about me, so it's going to be a miserable season of for me. If you are Christian, yes, if you are a miserable person, there is a joy. Jesus Christ came for you. That is a good news that brings great joy for all. Whether you have a family or not. Whether you are very successful or unfortunate. Equally, this is a good news. That's this Advent season we explore why we should celebrate this Christmas. Why? What is the good news? So first Sunday, we explore the meaning of good news. Good news of Jesus Christ is that Jesus has brought year of jubilee, time of Lord's favor for the poor, for the blind, for the prisoners, for the oppressed. The world will say they are spending miserable time during this season, but the Bible says, I came to proclaim the good news. You poor, you blind, you prisoners, you oppressed. And we know Jesus lived only 3 years in public ministry. How he going to bring this good news to the whole world? So that was the second Sunday. How he going to bring this good news to the all people in the world? Looking for partners who are bad believers, faithful, available, teachable. God has plans how he going to bring this good news to the end of the earth. And he started with calling these disciples. And the third Sunday, we look at the how he makes these people to be true disciples, faithful, available, teachable disciples. That's how he spent 3 years. Eat with them, sleep with them, and teach them, and preach to them, and show them all he could do to teach the disciples, equip them, so that someday, he's going to say, go, therefore. Proclaim the good news. Today is the last series of this, Why Christmas? Now, once he equipped his disciples, by the end of this ministry, 3 years of ministry, he revealed another plan for this world to bring the good news of great joy to all people. Jesus said, I will, upon this rock, I will build my church. This is the God's plan A, only plan A, no plan B, the final plan. And he, after this, he died and ascended into heaven. So we have to look carefully about this one. So what it means to be a church? Why church is so important in the plan of God to bring good news to those people? Jesus said, I will build my church, not Pastor Joseph's church, not so-and-so's church, not Jean Hotelling's church. My church, Jesus' church, upon this rock, solid faith. Here, the question, what Jesus challenged those people? By the way, I need to pray before this one, because my message today might be challenging some of you. So I hope. Let me say a prayer. Lord our God, I'm bringing this message. I'm hoping that this message will challenge all of us. And so open our eyes and ears so that we can truly hear what you try to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you noticed? I said that after end of 30 years of discipleship, Jesus challenges these disciples. But I know that what other people say, I'm not really interested in what other people say. But who do you say that I am? What kind of question is that? I mean, from the beginning, I knew that you are the Son of God, you are followers, and then I've been following you, I've learned for 3 years. I think that I have enough knowledge, but you asking me this question. Who do you say that I am? Some of you say that, well, I've been here in the church for years, for decades. What fundamental question you ask? But Jesus is today asking the same question to you. No matter how many years you've been believing, following Jesus Christ, he keeps coming and asking you. But I know, Jose, you've been educated. You went to the seminary. Not one, two seminaries. You are pastors for 20 years. But who do you say that I am? This is not just thing. It's a very, very personal question. Someday, some point, not once, but multiple times, Jesus will come from before you again, ask you personally, Joseph, who do you say that I am? Peter, John, James, Bartholomew, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah, Son of a living God. Very simple question that even children can answer. But hear what Jesus said after this. Good. You know what, Peter? This is not what you said. The Father in heaven has revealed this truth to you. You did not learn this from any human being. You did not learn this from your parents, from your Sunday school, from your pastor. It is God who revealed now, and now you own this one. I mean, if you grew up in the church, you heard about all these stories of Jesus Christ. Christmas seasons and the Advent season and the Lenten season and all year round. So you may say, well, automatically, well, Jesus is Son of God and is my Savior and Lord. But I want to challenge you. The answer you give is from what you learn from other people. What the one that God reveals to you. I knew, but I never knew before. Look at the disciples. They've been following Jesus Christ. I mean, if they were asked first year, they would say this one. But the end of his ministry, Jesus asked this question and they said, it is not you. No. It is of God. It is the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you. This is a very, very crucial point in our spiritual journey. revealed, unveiled. Many times we think, well, because I have learned, well, because I have taught, I can say who Christ is. I can say theology of the church. No. That is important, but the more important thing is the God involved in your knowledge. You know, the First John, and every Christmas time we read this one, that the Word has become human flesh, dwell among us. And then John later says, out of his fullness, full revelation, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Did you see that at least two graces here? We all receive grace in place of grace already given. There are multiple graces that God revealed and gave to us. You know, John Wesley at least categorized three graces. If you are a good Methodist, you would understand the three graces. Prevenient grace, the grace even though we didn't know God give us grace, and the justifying grace or saving grace, the moment that we acknowledge, aha moment, that we know who Jesus is, whose I am is, and then sanctifying grace. In this journey, we need graces. Not only three graces, I said this category, but especially in sanctifying grace, is multiple graces we experience. And another place, Paul said, but when we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed, and all of us with an unveiled face are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Here, once again, this one degree of glory to another. You're talking about there are multiple dimensions in this spiritual realm. Not just only one dimension. Oh, yes, I learned about Jesus Christ. I accepted Jesus when I was in the 5 years old. There is a one dimension. There is another dimension, another grace and the glories. Have you experienced those three graces? Have you gone into one place to another? Or you are just satisfied, well, I've gone through the religious school. I read the Bible. Why bother me to read one more Bible? Why Pastor Joseph keep asking us to read the Bible? Why keep asking us to come to prayer meetings? And I'm happy where I am. Don't shake my tranquility. Come on, why? Why I push you? Why I say this to you on and on? Because don't stay there. There is another grace, another glory. There's another things. Jesus said, I give you life, but abundant life. There's another abundant life that we can experience. A few days ago, one of the church members said, it's been so different now these days. The same works. And we are doing all other activities in the church. But before, we just did because of we had to do it. Now, I'm happy to do all these things. I really enjoy doing these things. You know why? That person has moved from one dimension to another dimension. one degree of glory to another glory. The finding new meaning of life and purpose. Wow, because of my position, because I am the chair of committees, I have to do. Without my help, no one can volunteer, so I have to do. When can I give up this? I'm burnt out. That's the one dimension. Another dimension is, wow. It's a different things, and I'm doing the same thing, but the different meaning I enjoy. I work there. Oh, when I'm going to be retired from that work? Oh, I hate to go to work. But when you go to another dimension, that you find a new meaning, new purpose for your life. Then I say, keeping up, the Bible says, God has a plan for you. You are not an accidental. To Jeremiah, God said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. But many times we say, what? I don't know what your plans. That's the right thing. I didn't know. I struggled about this God's plan. I wanted to know what God's plan for me, what God's will for me. And a few chapters later, God also says, call to me. I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. If you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to know God's plans for your life, have you sincerely, fervently, call to God? I said I went to two seminaries. First seminary that I chose, it was an independent evangelical seminary. It's a very good school. Because of my college ministry and seeing the missionaries and other people who went there, so I was positively influenced by them. So that's what I chose to go there. Like I said, there's a non-denominational seminary. After 4 years of study, there's a four-year program, graduate. I want to say thank you, Jesus. and my children, my endurance. And the end of this time, the fourth year, I really think about now, if I graduate from high school, the seminary, then what is God's plan for me? I left my home church, Methodist Church, serving Southern Baptist and Presbyterian churches in Korean congregation. So it seems to me there are two possibilities that I can be ordained and serve, either in a Baptist church or Presbyterian, the Presbyterian PC, a Presbyterian Church of America. That's an evangelical church, it's not the Dennis Church. That came out of that the church. So there are two possibilities for me to get involved and then ordained this, but I was not sure which one. I felt that I'm now far away from the Methodist church. So, Lord, really I want to know. So I went to the retreat center for pray in fasting, which means only water. Went to Monday, and I didn't get any answer till Saturday. That's the time that I'm going to come down to serve the church on Sunday. So all these 5 days, I was hungry, sleepy, no answer. God, what, I'm called by you. What kind of plan do you have? Won't you show me? And there was a Saturday afternoon. Once again, because I slept a lot, because no strength and hungry, and And then there, I had a vision or dream, I don't know exactly, that I was making disciples in Methodist congregation. So I never thought about, like I said, I was praying for the Baptist or Presbyterian church. I thought the Methodist church was out of picture that time. And then I was thinking about serving the Korean congregation in America. So in the dream, the Methodist, the American congregation. So what? I thought that there was no sense at all. So I just disregarded. No, that doesn't make sense. So you just, I don't know why I have this dream or vision. And after that, God has guided me to go to Methodist seminary another 3 years. Oh, thank you, Jisun. She was very supported by this one. My children, too. Thank you. And then now what? Never had any plan about serving the American congregation. All doors closed. So once again, Lord, what's your plan for me? What is your will? Did I miss your will? And God has led me to here, this place. And about 10 years ago, really God put me into making discipleship and teaching the lay sermon classes other people's. And then as I taught those classes, that dream came up. Wow. You say really that the dream that I had, that was God's dream? Now, these days, do I believe that? I do believe. I'm so sorry for you that you have this pastor who emphasized teaching about discipleship and encourage you to do it. You know, this is my desire, my plan, it's God's plan. So you have to be endure until the bishop moves me to another church if you don't agree. Or there's another option that you follow my direction. That God think about in this time, God has sent Joseph here for the purpose. So and I follow his leadership to be a make disciple church. Amen. Otherwise, like I said, just be patient, endure. Soon it'll come to the day will come soon pass. Anyhow, so that is the plan. What I'm trying to make point out of this is God has a plan. Yes, it might be blurry. You cannot see well. Call to God. Seek God, show me your plan. The Bible said, the pastor said, you have a plan for me. I'm not an accident and I am set by you. But I want to know what is your plan. So what is the purpose of the Christmas? Christmas, while we enjoy family present and seeing our children enjoy all those things, we as believers had to understand the real meaning of Christmas, which is well summarized in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's love for all. It's available to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And how God is going to bring this good news to this world? Through the church. Church is God's final plan. That is why the purpose and mission of the church. Now, by this time, you all understand and memorize what is the mission of the church. Amen. That is the purpose and mission of the church. When we lose this purpose and mission, then the church is lost its direction. We are nowhere to go, and that we see all problems. You know what? We are full of sinners. If we don't have that direction, why God has called us to do, then we just see the old churches, all the institution, someone called organized institution, that has all problems. But when we understand why Jesus came to us, why he called each one of us, and then bring this one here, this church, then we know that we will fight, not within us, but to the world, to bring this light, to live as a salt. Once again, Jesus asked me, but who do you say I am? Why this is important? Because the only way you can be Jesus' church is through this question and your confession. Not through Joseph, not through baptism. Sorry. You had to confront this one. If you're not sure about this question, ask the Lord. Lord, reveal to me, unveil to me so that I can confidently confess that you are the Messiah, the Son of a living God. Yes, I am part of a church. Yes, I understand finally why you came to us. Yes, I understand finally my place in the church, my place in this world, my job. Yes, I understand that I have no purpose of this life. There is no other plan B, unfortunately. We are the God's final plan. Not angels will take this plan. Only human, saved soul, be part of God's shoulder to bring this plan into this world. So I invite you, I don't know how God spoke to you today. You may close your eyes. If the Holy Spirit move your heart, I want you to come from here. If you have still question about this and how to answer this question, who do you say that I am? I really want to know you, Lord, that you may come. And those of you who are stuck in one dimension, and I'm satisfied with where I am, don't tell me to move to another dimension. And if you saw and felt that God spoke to your heart, that why don't you move from this one to another dimension? I have better things for you. And come. And those who want to decide to now follow Jesus Christ, learn from him. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to love. If you have that desire, please come. We'll pray for you together, and God will hear your heart and Let's call to God together. And there is a prayer. The ministers, the people, group of people who you know, be with you and pray for you. And then would you, the prayer ministers, and please come. I ask before the meeting, and the Diana, Linda, and Mike, and come. And anyone who like to be prayed, and come before these people.